Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week, where two old guys and one guy slightly younger than us, so he's almost old by a few months, talk about old games. It's Original Flavor Wednesday, so we are playing down from 25 to 1 on Dorkly's top 25 Nintendo 64 games. And the first for this list, we had to break a game down into two parts. So now we bring you part two of Paper Mario. So returning from part one, Ramon Castillo.
Hey, hey.
And we are without Nicole Nance. She had better shit to do.
Oh, so it's better shit Wednesday?
Better shit. A better shit for Nicole Wednesday. Same all shit for us Wednesday. But I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And yesterday was Monday. Myself, Nicole, and Meg all have Fitbits. And on like the Fitbits, you can challenge people on your friends list to various exercise challenges. And Nicole challenged Meg and I to the work week scramble to see who would have the most steps Monday through Friday.
What is a Fitbit?
Fitbit is basically a...
Is that thing on your wrist?
A health monitor in the form of a watch.
Okay.
So it functions as a watch, but it also keeps track of, like, I bought the HR, so it keeps up my heart rate, so I know how many calories I'm burning during various amounts of exercise, except not weightlifting. It's bad about predicting how much calorie you burn through weightlifting, but...
That's difficult to do anyway.
Yeah. Running and everything like that, it's all good. And it keeps track of your steps and floors you go up and how many miles you go in a day and stuff like that. I enjoy it thoroughly. But when Nicole challenges to that, I was like, oh shit, no, I'm gonna beat both of you severely. So I ran 8 miles yesterday.
I hope you didn't beat them.
Well, I got I think 22,000 steps. So it puts you at 10,000 steps is what you're supposed to be, your default daily goal. So I doubled that a little bit more. I think Meg got like 6,000 and Nicole got like 5,000. So I feel pretty good about I had to take a rest day today because I was thoroughly worn out. So today I took off. But while I was running, I was reminded of something in Dungeons & Dragons that I always thought was a little weird. Because granted, it thoroughly depends on your dungeon master as what they get. If the game were to get like a movie rating as what your game would be rated. And I feel like for the most part, yes, you are murdering lots and lots of monsters and everything else. But in the static, like normal D&D mods that come out, I would say it's generally PG-13 for the most part. But I remember what mod it was or what book or whatever I read it in. But it might have been the only book that got a mature rating. It might have been the Book of All Darkness, but I don't think so. I think it was in just like a regular module you'd find somewhere else. But the module read about the adventure was to go to this Medusa's cave and kill this Medusa and take her treasure. But they had a huge like page about this guy who lived with the Medusa. It's strange that they go about all about this one guy who lives with the Medusa, and he's an evil guy. You have to fight him too, but he is...
I wish he was a nice guy.
He's fallen in love with the Medusa, and she likes him around, so she like covers her face and things like that. But it talks about, basically, that he has grown to fetishize her look, because whenever a Medusa looks at you, it turns you to stone. So it goes into strange detail about how he gets excited and throbs with hope and excitement about her looking at him and turning him to stone. So he is often aroused by her and thinking about her looking at him. So he goes around like trying to obtusely like get him to accidentally look at her, and it sexually arouses him, which is, it's fine. I mean, that's, I imagine that would be a thing that would happen. I mean, we in the real world, there are plenty of fucked up fetishes. So
it's forbidden.
Yeah. So Medusa, I'm sure that would happen. But for the general PG-13 D&D to suddenly go like, no, we're going to have this dude who jerks off to get looked at by Medusa. Okay. Okay.
That's like Stockholm syndrome to the next degree.
So what you're saying is he got hard about getting hard.
Hard. Yes. Correct, sir.
Did you find the mod afterwards? Did you look for it?
It's in my cabinet right here that is full to the brim with what evil would have been new $10,000 worth of D&D books. But current value is probably $200.
Yeah, you can get like third edition books on eBay for like $5. Ugh. I think even like Amazon, you just get them for like $5.
It makes me sick. I remember in college, every month we would go to the local comic book shop and fork over between $20 and $40 for the new book that
month. I get
it.
I sold a saxophone to buy 3 D&D books. Yeah, I get it. And now they're worth $5 a piece. Yeah, it's awesome. Aww, great feeling.
I forgot you had that saxophone.
Yeah, it's because you didn't see it much.
And the other part of the intro is how desperate Dish Network has gotten to try and get business. I'm sure they're not the only ones that do it, but I checked my mail after I was done running. I checked the mail and I was like, man, I have like 3 personalized letters. This is weird.
Dish Network, is that the monthly subscription service where they send you plates every month, a box full of plates?
Basically. Okay. That would be better than what they actually do. But I get in like, it's like a very like stylized like pen, like handwritten letter, like a stamp, or like,
I got this.
Who
as
got
well
me this? I open got it this up. As well. Yeah, it's just a flyer. Like, yeah. So the Dish Network was like, no. We make it look like somebody cares, so they'll open it and then immediately be angry and throw it away.
I'm glad you brought that up because I had a client who essentially asked me. They did a lot of mailing, and they essentially asked me how they could do that. They're like, how can we get somebody to open something? And I was like, well, I mean, are they going to be pleased with what they find when they open it? Because they wanted to do that personal route. And that's what we ended up doing. We ended up doing that, like using a font that was looked like it was handwritten, and they put a stamp on it and everything. And every step of the way, I was like, I was telling them, if I got this in the mail, I would probably never purchase your service.
Yeah, because I opened it, but I'm like, oh, fuck that, and threw it away.
Yeah.
So I mean, if their goal was to get me to open it, goal succeeded.
Who, I'm curious, like, who opened it? And they're like, well, you got me, Dish Network.
Who,
you
I fooled guess, me. Did my aunt send me this subscription to Dish Network? I guess I better do it if she wants me to. Some one of my relatives clearly wrote me this recommendation for Dish Network, which just Dish Network blows.
I've never had them.
It blows. My parents had them. No. DirecTV is better, but
yep.
Netflix and Hulu are just fine. Just fine.
Oh, well, cutting the cord is the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Nowadays, for sure.
Because before we did it, Meg threw a fit about she wouldn't be able to sit down and just zone out to HGTV and have it on in the background. And I was like, I don't think $200 a month is worth like you just being able to not sort of watch TV, but not really watch TV. So let's just go ahead and get rid of it.
Does she miss it?
No, not at all. She's like, I thought I would, but I don't. I really don't.
You need to zone out to something else.
Yeah, as soon as we got it, she started watching all 10 seasons of Supernatural that are on Netflix.
Yes!
So,
yes! That's what I'm watching.
Yep. She watched about that's 7 of that before she got burned out. But
that's on HGTV, right?
It should be.
That's where two guys in a like classic car go around and kill werewolves and buy houses.
And they're brothers. It's like property brothers. I think that's what it's called. Supernatural property brothers.
It's just they kill the monster that lives in the house, and then they flip the house.
They're spinoffs of each other.
They up the property value. They actually do a lot of demo where they stuff like witchcraft bags in the house to cleanse it. So there's a demolition section, and then there's like a salting section, and then they kill the monster, and then they flip it and sell it. Yeah.
Because Supernatural, like, they've gotten to the point, right, where they just like we're going to be famous no matter what. So they just use like fan scripts for episodes. Like,
yeah, they have used fan. They have used fan fiction.
Use fan fiction. So why not? Like, I mean, they could totally do the Property Brothers, like they come in and act like they're episode? Yeah, a parody
or
where
a
they're
crossover?
Going in and cleansing houses yeah. for people to come in. Like, it's a real fixer upper, but we got to get rid of this vampire yeah. covenants inside of it.
Well, if they keep going at this pace, there will be an episode where they cross over with Family Guy.
Now this, well, this is your dream house. Season. It's $500,000, but there's one. It's a little bit of a fixer upper. It has 20 sarcophagi in it. But it's within your budget. You have to put a little bit of work in.
The 40 animated skeletons will be great laborers.
And as the brothers go in with the new couple, like, of course, like, one of the kids and the wife ends up getting killed while they're getting the mummies out. So the husband, he has this new cheap house and is broken and shattered. And the brothers are happy to have helped.
But they got their closing costs paid for.
That's
worth it in the end.
That's worth it.
Yeah. Yep, and they made money on escrow, and that's the moral of the story.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. And we were talking about fears last time. We had Ramon on for Paper Mario Part 1. If you haven't listened to it and you don't want to hear much about Paper Mario, check it out. but I was thinking more about fears, and I may have talked about this on the show before a long time ago. Tyler, do you recall me talking about going to KFC as a child and for some reason on the KFC bag, they had like an ad for an exterminator or something like that. So they were like printed cockroaches on the bag.
No.
And that was like the grossest fucking thing to me. Like, I did not eat the Kentucky Fried Chicken that night. And to this day, like I realize that in probably like when Henry is in his 20s or 30s, like our food supply will be so scarce that we're just going to be eating bugs, right? I mean, we're just going to be harvesting bugs and then like processing bugs.
I've read a lot of shit about that. Like, it's going to get to the point where insects will have to be our primary source of protein.
I mean, eventually, right? Yeah. Like, hopefully I don't have to witness my boy eat like a hamburger patty that's made out of like insect, like locust wings and stuff like that.
Well, hopefully it'll be like Henry's grandson will be the one that has to do that.
That I can deal with, because I'll be way
My dead. Grandson can then make these bugs appetizing for him. So,
yeah,
full circle.
I can't hang with that. Like, I would choose to starve to death, I think. Bugs and food. I'm not afraid of bugs. Here's the thing. And it's like I kind of teased Nicole a little bit about, you know, the fear of the cicadas and like the whole like biting her leg, trying to suck the sap out.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with bugs. And it's like when there's a bug in the house, like I don't want to kill it. Like I want to catch it and put it outside unless it's a spider. That's an entirely different story.
Yep.
So the line is drawn though when food's involved. Like I cannot eat anything when like bugs are on the tele. Like if there's like some kind of like nature documentary with like bugs on it, like close up ants and shit like that. I can't hang. I can't eat and look at that. So I guess it's this weird. I wouldn't call it a fear, but it's definitely a hang up. Like I don't want to talk. Like most people like don't want to talk about like vomit and shitting when they're eating. I'm okay with that. It's just I don't want to hear about like, but like winged insects and stuff like that.
Like Jacob can't handle talking about shitting while we were having a meal. He flips out. So whenever any of you have dinner with Jacob, however you want the dinner to go, talk or don't talk about shitting.
I was making a salad for lunch this past week, and I bring up the insect thing because as I was making it, I got my salad like in a little Tupperware container.
Mm-hmm.
We keep it in the fridge, so when I come home for lunch, I can just open that sucker up, put a little dressing on it, shake it up, and eat it. So when I opened the Tupperware container, I saw a little fruit fly kind of buzz in it, and
garbage can.
I dumped it down the garbage disposal. I did because it was like, here, but I didn't immediately. Like I lifted a few leaves. It was like, no, not there. I don't. I can't find it. Okay. And you're going down the garbage disposal. Sorry. Guess I'm going to eat a ham sandwich today, which is exactly what I did. And I felt like I was really embarrassed too because my mom was home watching Henry. And so like I'm trying to like discreetly put it down the garbage disposal because I didn't want her to come in and be like, what are you doing with that salad? I didn't want to have to be like, well, I can't prove it, but there's a bug in there. So I completely avoided that situation. And it's like some kind of weird fucking karma. Later that night, I was playing Paper Mario and I put my slippers on because my feet were chilly. Mm-hmm, it was a little chilly in the house. So I put my slippers on and I felt something in my slipper, something that felt like a little bit of balled up, like gum wrapper or something like that. And I was like, oh, what the fuck is that? I pulled my foot out of the slipper and held the slipper up and a dead cricket rolled out of there, which Burley, as my cat, fucking loves finding crickets, pulling the legs off, and then putting the body in one of my shoes. So sometimes when I get ready for work, it's just like, crunch, ooh, yum.
Father does hate the legs ever so much.
Yeah, he's a very particular cat. He's kind, which is really cool when I sweep, but it's like I have this small pile of cricket legs. It's like I can like give it to a witch for like spell components or something.
Supermoon. Oh,
hey. Well, I think, and this is going on last week, and listeners should go back and listen to Paper Mario Part 1. Maybe your fear of eating insects is your fear of summoning a giant fish that will eat you.
I doubt it. I just think insects are kind of gross.
I mean, but your fear of fish may be so prominent that you know that fish eat insects. So it may also that you don't want to turn into a fish.
You have insects really around you, fish will be summoned.
I didn't know that, though. Fish eat insects?
Yep. I was thoroughly creeped out the first time my dad took me to a bait store, and I was like, night crawlers in a big cage?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
Just teleporting all over the place.
How are we going to keep him on the hook?
And my dad reaches in and grabs a nightcrawler by the neck and jams a hook in his neck.
Take it, Kurt. Mein Gott!
This is my Excalibur.
Oh, that's deep cut.
Can I ask a question about insects, crickets in particular?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Why are they always covered in oil? What's that about? Have you ever noticed that? They're always like oiled up. They're always like shiny looking. That's gross.
They're the beach bro of the insect kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Except really for Jiminy.
Like when you catch one, like even as a kid, I remember catching it in my hand, right? I catch a cricket in my hand and then let it go and then like smell my hand. Yeah, exactly. It smells fucking gross because it's got that fucking cricket sheen on it.
Yeah, like the nightcrawler cage smelled like an old dugout. Like anytime you go to the bait shop, like few smells in the South, I think, really rival like the bait shop.
Did I ever tell you the story about when I bought the nightcrawlers to go fishing and left the box of bait in the garage overnight?
No.
And then I came in the next morning and it was just fucking cricket exoskeletons and like three of them. Like they had just fucking just decided to murder and eat all the other crickets in there. They just cannibalized each other. And that was another thing where it was like, I'm done with crickets. They're fucking gross as shit. Because that is really not what I expected when I opened up the box.
Well, JD hates crickets. Really, really hates crickets. And icebergs and whales.
The primal three fears. We like to know them best.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, let me look. Saturday, August the 1st, I did 19,571 steps. So not quite as many as you did yesterday, Tyler. But I did those while wearing a backpack covered in rain while carrying a 6-year-old. So I don't think it calculated those.
Mm-mm.
But so...
Unless your heart rate was up.
For sure.
Did you wear it on your left hand?
No, this one doesn't do my heart rate. It's just in my pocket. My heart rate monitor doesn't work that well in the rain because it's copper. The new one I'm getting will. it's an active heart rate monitor, more like a Fitbit, because that's what a Fitbit is really known for, is having a really good heart rate monitor. But my story is that we just came back from vacation, which I mentioned last time that I was leaving for vacation, and it rained the entire time we were there.
Where'd you go?
Universal Studios. Went to Orlando.
The rain simulator?
yeah. The I learned all these facts about Orlando this week. Like it's the number one thunderbolt capital in the world. Like it has the
it's also the number one reggaeton place in the whole world, which is like the devil's music.
I was hoping you were going to say that you learned a lot about the hotel's amenities.
No. We weren't in the hotel as much as I would have liked to have been.
Out in the rain instead.
Yeah, we were out in the rain instead. Cool. I spent probably way too much money on things to fight off the rain that ultimately failed in the end. because one thing that they did not protect was my shoes, and more importantly, they did not protect my socks.
Ooh.
Which is like
that's like the like, worst.
That's the worst. Like,
they mentioned that in Forrest Gump, so you know it's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, like, and I understand, like, how, like, people's sensory and tactile things work. And my number one physical pet peeve is my socks being wet, or, like, basically that just that feeling of uncomfortableness. And that was the entire weekend, basically. And
we would have all went far in the military so far.
Yeah. The cool thing was, is we went to the Jurassic Park part of the park, and it started just downpouring rain. And I have this backpack on, and I'm just going to paint this picture for you. Okay. So I have this fully loaded backpack on. It's got dry clothes in it because it had rained the day before. It has snacks. It has water bottles. It has towels, so it's pretty loaded for bear. Strapped to the side of that, basically in between the sort of bungee parts of my backpack, which is a pretty cool backpack. It's a like an Under Armour sort of cross training backpack. It's light, but it has a lot of places to put things. So I had an umbrella stuffed into that, and then tied onto the top so it wouldn't like hit anybody while I was walking. And then clipped onto the other side was a carabiner, which is that hook that has a
that's you know, racist.
But is it, you say carabiner?
Yeah, it's like when you hug a Mexican. No, it's that hook that closes, right? Like you put something on it and it latches behind.
Yeah.
It's like what you use for climbing. And so I had two of those, and we had been there the day before, so I had already had butterbeer. So we had our butterbeer mugs attached to the back of the backpack. So let me paint this picture. Full backpack, right? Full of gear and clothes, right? And food supplies. Strapped to the side of it was a large item, and on the other side of it was two cups. I sounded like a miner.
Like I was about to say, you did say you were at the Universal Studios, right? Not a Venezuelan mine.
Yeah. So, but here, get this. So it's pouring rain, and we're in the Jurassic Park section. And in the Jurassic Park section, there is an outdoor climbing area, and it's those interlocked rope nets and slides and stuff, and it's still raining.
I remember those from the movie.
So, you know, it's basically a huge, huge playground that my son wanted to go on, and we were all basically covered in ponchos and gear and all this stuff. And as we were climbing, my wife, who also, obviously you guys know, but the listeners don't necessarily know, also plays D&D with us, and she looked back at you. Or she looked back at, not back at you, that would be weird.
She opened the time gate.
Yeah, she opened the fourth wall during the storytelling. No, she looked back at me and she's like, oh my God. And she just, and I was like, what? She's like, you're like a real adventurer right now. And I was like, yeah, my shoes are soaked. I'm loaded for bear, and I have these two cups jangling at the side of my backpack making shitloads of noise, and we're climbing. I was like, I immediately regretted anything I'd ever done to a player ever. I was like, I actually had to live it because that's where most of my steps came from. We're not from walking. They were from climbing this goddamn thing in the pouring rain. So I was like, but it was cool because it was like, that was like, even though the rain kind of sucked, it was in that moment. I was like, man, this is like sort of if somebody came in here and did this and they actually like were dressed like an adventurer and were climbing around stuff, is like, it would kind of get a feeling of what it would be like in D&D, which is, mm-hmm. like you had mentioned before, generally is about adventuring and killing monsters and stuff like that.
Yeah, without all the spells and like potions and awesome shit. Just nets.
Just the grueling, taxing stuff. And I'm sure there's somebody like a super athletic climbing person that you know, like lives in Denver and they're like, the fuck, it's adventuring.
That's more of Universal's new aggro crag / Chilean miner experience, where you climb the aggro crag and then go down into a mine shaft for 6 days.
I would pay to climb the aggro crag.
Now we did drop down into a cave that they built, and at the bottom it smelled like piss. So that was very authentic. So that was my little adventure to keep the story short, because I know we're actually talking about Paper Mario.
Maybe.
Well, that's the rumor.
I
mean,
I was under the impression. I could be wrong.
All right, so you guys want to buy Paper Mario then?
Yeah.
Yes.
I already did a Dave Reads from Wikipedia, so I'm not going to do that again.
Okay.
If you want to hear that, go back a week.
No, I'll edit it in right now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's all pause for a minute.
You guys could do like an In a World every now and then. Like, just think, you know, like when you're doing a non-segment, like when you have to, like when you have to talk about Dave Reads from Wikipedia, but he doesn't actually read from it, just do like a In a World. One man reads some bullshit that some people on the internet wrote, and he hopes that it's correct.
We're pretty good at voices, so that's probably, I'd say our forte is probably doing voices.
Oh, man. So about 11 o'clock last night, I beat Paper Mario. Still thoroughly enjoyed the experience. Still think it's heads and above the best thing that I've played on this list so far. Not only because I said I went out immediately and ordered halfway through the Paper Mario, I went and bought Thousand Year Door. So I finished Paper Mario yesterday, and today I went ahead and bought Super Paper Mario.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to just ride out the whole series.
You sure it wasn't the sunk cost fallacy? Where you're like, well, I already bought Thousand Year Door. I better like this game a lot.
Yep. Well, I was pissed off because I got on eBay and... because I accidentally bought two copies of Thousand Year Door for like $29 and $31 respectively. And then when I got on and bought Super Paper Mario, buy it now, $13. Okay, great. Then I saw Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, buy it now,
$9.99.
Oh, no.
Fuck. Oh, well.
Hey, that's a pretty, it sounds like a good deal on Super Paper Mario.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you made some of your money back.
Because it's not it's the original print and not the greatest hits or whatever. Like I've only ever seen the red outlined case before and not the.
Oh, I didn't know they did. I didn't know they did greatest hits for
a Thousand Year
Nintendo.
Door.
Or for Super Paper Mario.
Super Paper Mario.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't finish this game. I'm pretty salty about it, honestly, because I rushed to finish it. And rushed and rushed and rushed and got to Bowser's Castle and rushed and died and had to go back to a save point, at which point it was like, well, I got 20 minutes till I have to record. I guess I'm not going to do this. And I set the controller down and ate dinner instead.
Because from where it sounds like you were about 85% through Bowser's Castle.
Which I assume is the last level?
Yep.
I assume it is.
Yep.
So, cool. I don't know if I'm going to go back and finish it because I'm that salty about it. I am that salty about it. It felt like, I told you this before we started recording, I was having flashbacks when I rushed through Super Mario RPG when I rented it from Blockbuster and decided to beat it in a weekend. Like, that's exactly how I felt. Yeah. Or just like, I don't care. Yep, Koopa's great. Kill it and shit. Great. Fantastic. And then, so that's, don't play it like that. That'd be my suggestion. Don't do that because you probably won't enjoy it very much.
No, the trick is to have a wife who makes a lot more money than you, have a baby, stay home and take care of the baby while the baby's napping, play it while it's nap time.
That's a hell of a cheat code.
You get like 6 hours in a day that way.
That's pretty good.
Knock on wood, I'm going to be home for the next 2 weeks, so I can finish it, hopefully.
It's worth it.
We'll have you on for part 45. Paper Mario, part 45.
All right, so now that we didn't actually talk about the game. We talked a little bit about the story. We talked a little bit about the mechanics.
Sort of.
Playing through it, I got, of course, only half the companions as I was halfway through the game. Now I got the rest of the companions. Bombette is still my favorite companion, but there are some very cool ones.
So that's a pretty cool thing about the game is that you pretty much get a companion for every chapter, mm-hmm. right? Except mm-hmm. for like the last chapter.
Yeah, except for Bowser's chapter being the last one. Yeah, you don't get one for him. I do think it's almost inexcusable that you have this huge cast of characters and Luigi is still just sitting in the house.
I love
There's
that.
There's no reason. I think Luigi should be able to be a companion.
See, no, I like it because all the companions are monsters. That's what I like about it. Like, all the companions are monsters. Like, I feel like if you open that door
Man is the greatest monster team.
Luigi is neither. We know that. Luigi's somewhere in the in-between. No, I don't. I like that there was all just creatures from the universe. Because, like, you let Luigi in. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, well, fuck, I want to play as Peach, too. And I want to play as Toad. I mean,
but you do get to play as Peach. You have your intermission episodes. Between the chapters, you get to do a kind of small quest as Peach inside. She's trapped inside Bowser's castle. And basically, she is the one helping Mario find the Star Spirit. She spies on Bowser and has a little like junior star that helps her out that she
called Twink, which I believe is a term in the gay community. So I mean, I don't know Twink's sexual preference.
That's basically, I think Josh Nance would probably be referred to as a Twink. Perhaps an otter. He does have some belly hair. So maybe he's an otter. If that one episode off It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is correct.
I didn't see any belly hair on Twink the Star, so it's probably just Twink the Twink.
Which I enjoyed the Peach stuff.
I'm surprised, because I was going to ask you about that, because all of Peach's stuff is pretty much stealth missions.
I was fine with that. I liked the one point where you go through the quiz. Oh, that was cool. The parasol disguise thing you do, because there were also, it was a Harry Potter type of thing. Like Harry Potter, they have the chest that connects to different places in Harry Potter. They had the same thing in Mario.
You put something in one chest and it appears
in the other
in
one.
Another one.
So that's how Peach could basically sneak items to Mario through this chest in her castle to a chest in this new race I'm unfamiliar with of like, these people that look like Vivi from Final Fantasy IX.
They look like the, all the fortune tellers look like the fortune tellers in Link to the Past or Link's Awakening.
Oh, the, you mean like Merlon and Merlovely?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those.
Yeah, they're a big deal in Super Paper Mario, so they stick around for a while. I forgot, they actually explain what their race is in that game. Because they're really important in that game. But I don't remember what they are either, but that's their thing. They're all like fortune tellers and stuff.
Which I'm excited for Mario Luigi Paper Jam, which is the latest game to come out, is like the Mario and Luigi DS series crosses over with the Paper Mario universe. So you've got both sets of characters in the same game.
I think you meant Mario and Luigi Shut Up and Jam.
Yeah. When they'll eventually join Charles Barkley to be great. Okay.
What would Mario's dunk be? I think before we continue, we have to figure out what Mario's dunk would be.
Charles Barkley would be so angry at Mario's height and jumping ability.
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he'd be furious.
We all know Luigi's dunk would be crazy legs dump.
Yep.
Dump.
Taking that crazy legs dump.
See, he jumps in the air. He's got so much time that he can completely evacuate his bowels before even putting the ball.
He takes out the newspaper, crosses his legs.
That's how high Luigi can jump, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Did that game come out already?
Nope. It comes out sometime this year.
It's not out yet. I'm going to have to either rent or repurchase Dream Team because I don't know why I stopped playing it. I guess because it went slower than Bowser's Inside Story, which is my favorite of those, of the Mario and Luigi.
I looked up the reviews after you talked about it. Like, Bowser's Inside Story, like, everyone's like, fucking perfect, fucking amazing. And then Dream Team is like 4 out of 5 stars. Like, it's good, but it's just not as good as its predecessor.
I think my expectations were high, and the game was really good until a certain point. But, you know, some games, they just have that lag. And it hit a point where it was like, it was so much backtracking. And I think I was just got really busy at the time. And I just was like, oh, I can't go back. But still, I enjoyed, I think about it, and there's like inside jokes from that game that I really like. And then like there's two brothers in that game that talk about like getting beefy and where's the beef. And it's like, it's so preposterous. It's hilarious. Cause they're like these big, like muscle bound bros.
Meat is murder. Things like that.
Yeah, meat is murder. Yeah, it's not PETA friendly, but like I wanna finish that game to go and to play Paper Jam, because obviously I've played Super and Sticker Star, which are both amazing, and then Bowser's Inside Story, and then Superstar Saga, and Partners in Time. I've basically played all of them except finishing this one, Thousand Year Door, and then finishing Dream Team, which I'm just gonna have to do. I'm just gonna have to suck it up, which is the good thing about the new 3DS is because it saves your save on the system rather than on the cartridge, so I can just pick up where I left off.
Oh,
yeah, which is why I'm like, I don't care about trading in stuff now. I was like, well, I'm just gonna buy something else, and it's like I can get this used later or rent it. Which brings me to a different segment, real quick, that I was gonna say about Twink, because I haven't finished a game. I actually just now got to the point where you can free Bombette, which I was super excited. And you guys were like, "I'm ready," and I was like, "Okay." But Bombette is because of the 3DS game Bravely Default. I no longer trust fairies at all.
It's fair. Like, it's fair.
Like spoilers.
0%. Yeah, so when I saw Twink, I was like, main villain, like just immediately. And I don't think that's the case. Twink is, but as soon as I see
Twink is a
helper,
star.
Twink is a star, yeah. But it's close enough to a fairy.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay.
I see, yeah, twinks and fairies, I see where you're going, Ramon. I see where you're going with your logic.
So, but any small like helper that can fly, I pretty much just don't trust anymore. Like 0% trust. But I know that's not the case because I played maybe about halfway through this game and I don't feel that's the case. But like as soon as I saw Twink again, I was like, oh, you're pure evil.
So is Twink and Peach pretty much like, is that the, I'm curious if that was the origination of Rosalina.
It is really reminiscent. Yeah.
Because I mean, you have a princess and a small star companion. Because yeah. Twink stays with Peach throughout the entire game and helps her. I assume until the entire game. I don't know. Because I almost finished it. Maybe Twink at the very end does do a heel turn, mm-hmm. like you're thinking, Ramon.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you guys?
Yes.
He is the one that he really, because Bowser, you get the star power to make Bowser vulnerable again.
Right, because he's got that star rod.
Right, so you get all the power, all the stars together, so you can do this star beam that nullifies his invulnerability, and you beat him down. And then he grabs Peach and runs off to this magical platform where Kami Koopa is, the notorious Magic Koopa. And she's basically built this platform to further enhance his invincibility. So then the star rod is not enough. So you use it on him, and he's still invincible.
All the things you did at this point, worthless, lol.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, so the only star left is Twink. So then Peach and Twink team up and take out Kami, and then Peach supercharges Twink, who joins the other stars and gives you the big enough boost to take away Bowser's invulnerability, and then you do your final boss battle.
That's sweet. I like that.
It goes from star beam to Peach beam.
I like it.
And then it levels the playing field, so it's like the grudge match once again.
Exactly. And I came down one more turn, I would have died.
In the final battle?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be close.
It was close.
I I was curious about that final battle.
One badge I got, the badge you get for finishing the mail quest, saved my ass. I would have died if I didn't have that badge.
You're talking, of course, the side quests that continue out through the entire game where you have to deliver mail to other characters in the game.
Yep.
You find letters, and you got to deliver them.
You
got to. Can I tell you something about those side quests? I probably could have finished this game if I didn't fucking do them. Because it's like every single one of them is like, I'd find a letter and it'd be like, okay, deliver this to Musty in Toad Town. All right, well, that's cool. That'll only take like 2 minutes or something like that. That's not a big deal.
5 hours later.
Well, exactly. It's like it does take a very small amount of time to deliver that one letter. But inevitably what happens is Musty is like, oh, I have this letter. I need you to deliver it to Lil Mauser in Dry Dry Outpost. Okay, well, I can do that. It's not a big deal. I mean, I got a lot of stuff to do, but I mean, it's fine. It's just
hop
close.
In the pipe town and yeah, jump over there.
I'll
real
warp
quick.
On over there. It's not a big deal. Take 2 minutes. 2 minutes later, give the letter to fucking Lil Mauser. And he's like, oh, that's great. Here, I got a letter. Could you give this to Blue Yoshi in Yoshi's Village? Yeah, I mean, if I don't do it now, I'll probably forget about it and never do it. And I do want the star piece that I'm going to be rewarded and never do anything with. Mm-hmm. Did you buy anything with the star pieces?
I bought a few badges, but like I hardly ever used. I only use the one that raises your attack and defense. That's it.
I'm saving mine up. Saving them up.
There are some cool ones, yeah. But...
They're so much. They're so expensive. Because yeah. Like all the cool ones are like, it takes 6 badge points. And it's like you get a maximum of 30.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, if I use one that takes 6 points, I only have 24 left. And like there are definitely ones that I don't want to get rid of.
I finished the game with, I think, 5 badges on. Like 5 6-point badges.
Yeah.
And that was it. So the best one being, because really once you finish that whole chain where normally like there are 2... letter change you'll get. One where you deliver it, they give you a star piece. And the other that is continuous for like 40 fucking people throughout the course of the game, giving these letters over and over and over. To the final one, fucking Goompapa, the very first person you meet, deliver the letter to him. He's like, oh, hey, thanks. Here's the best badge in the game.
What is the best badge in the game?
Because you'll get various stages of it, of like sometimes attacks against Mario fail. A slightly higher percentage of attacks against Mario fail. He has the best one where a lot of attacks against Mario fail.
Is this when Mario's like within 5, below 5 hit points, or is this just always?
Just across the board.
That's cool.
So, because Bowser's breath weapon, his spout of fire deals 10 points of damage, and that fucker missed me 4 or 5 times.
Oh, so you got the badge.
Because of that badge. Huh. Yeah.
Is it hard to block, I'm guessing?
Yeah. If blocking, it only drops to 9.
Ugh.
So, and then he has the ability, he'll butt stomp you and disable your items or disable your hammer and shit like that. That's the important one you have to block. But pretty much blocking doesn't nullify that much of his damage. You just take away the status effect.
Yeah, because he does so much.
Mm-hmm. Because I think the badge that you can, the best badge you can buy with star pieces is the one that nullifies poison and stunning.
That's a 30-point. That's a 30-star piece badge, I think.
It's pretty expensive. But like once I got that, I was pretty set.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm saving up because I saw a few of them that were like, you can raise your attack by 1 if you lower your hit points by 10. I was like, no.
Because the most star pieces you can get come from Koopa Coot, the old Koopa. Like
with the wavy voice.
Yeah, every 4 missions you do for him, he'll give you 3 star pieces. So by the end of it, he gives you like 20 for doing all his stuff. You don't get anything really special at the end, just a fuck ton of star pieces.
Well, I just did the second one, so he gave me a gold coin, and then he gave me the silver badge.
He'll eventually give you the gold badge, which I never even went to that stuff. After Dave talked about it last time, I was like, I'm not gonna waste my time. It's fine.
Yeah. I did discover what you guys were talking about last time. It was like, it's all kind of coming back to me. The super bounce, which is the badge that lets you jump over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, that was the one I remembered liking the most, because I think Dave and I kind of sort of like the rhythm aspect. And I think that you and Nicole like the sort of the tilt back aspect of the active battle.
Yeah, I just went for like the big. I can get one or two jumps in a row, but I just went for the big damage ones that you just do.
I was so pissed because I got a para Koopa with it, and I hit him seven times, but because he was immune,
yeah,
he was a wing, yeah. It was just like nice, no damage.
Yeah, it just knocked him to the ground. Yeah, that's frustrating. It's also frustrating when it's because like what happens is every sequential jump, the damage lowers. So like the first like two are pretty high damage, and then eventually gets to ones where it's like the first one will be you hit them for three, then two, then one. If the enemy's armored at all, you essentially only get those two hits because everything afterwards is just like blocked.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool. They
find that later, but yeah, in this one, it's just the armor is pretty tough.
Yeah, but what's cool about that is if you can't jump on them to damage them, you can use the hammer. So I like that. I like that there's Mario has two weapons in his arsenal, the jump and the hammer. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Really, because the companion that I think is really sort of broken, like at least Bo, her ability like will average out because you can't do it constantly, but like the spark companion is his basic no flower point move ignores armor. So no matter who you're fighting, if you juice up Watt and his, you can just do a consistent 5 points of damage to every person and every boss for no flower points whatsoever. So Watt is, his area stuff isn't great, but like just that one move, if you're fighting a boss, he's pretty much the only one to use.
Is he a baby?
What?
See, he looks like he has a pacifier in his
mouth.
Right,
that's what I thought.
I also think it might be a light bulb that he's doing an Uncle Fester thing.
That's the one
I don't know.
That's the one companion where I was like, I do not like this character design. Because it's like I realized they wanted to give him some personality, right? And they're like,
it's going to be a ball of yellow.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, so I guess, I don't know, put something in his mouth? Do they have mouths? I don't know. What? Okay, we're going to take this little gray cylinder. Just put it on his face. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It's fine.
Morimoto, you sure? Yes! Yes, put it in his mouth!
I never got Watt. What is he supposed to be? Watt is he supposed to be?
He's one of the sparks that circle the platforms in Mario.
The
electrified enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like the fuzzies.
Kind of like a fuzzy, yeah.
Ninjas are in the game.
I know. I was so happy to see a ninja because like they come in late in the game, like chapter 7, and I got my hopes up because I was like, I'm about to get a ninja companion.
So that would have been cool, but and then there is chapter 7, the murder mystery chapter.
Yes,
where like you roll in like a Twin Peaks type situation.
/ Fargo.
Fargo,
yeah. Because it's a winter town.
Yeah, Fargo's what I should have said. So, yeah, Fargo.
It's all these, like, very innocent penguins. They have a village, and the mayor is, quote-unquote, murdered. And
they have those flappy hats.
Yeah, the lead detective has the hat with the ear flaps on it. Yeah. Which was well needed. That was, like, I did not enjoy the chapter before it, which is all, like, flower fields.
Now, Flower Fields, I feel like, is the least fun. I see what they were trying to do, but I just didn't think it was fun.
Because it's a whole lot of going, getting something, coming back to where you came from.
Yeah, there's a central hub with like six paths. So you're just going, go to this one path to get this one item. Okay, go to the opposite path to deliver the item. Then go to the first one and then go to the opposite one to deliver next item. Yeah, it's not very fun.
Remember which path has the thing that you need, which invariably I would not remember that. So be like, okay, go down this path, loading screen. Oh, not it. Go back to where I came from, loading screen. Okay.
Hooray for save states.
Yeah. So I play this shit straight though. Straight up.
I did too.
Wii U, but on the virtual console, which it makes me sad because like, oh, well, I don't even need to sit and play on this tablet in bed. That was pretty nice. It was pretty nice for a while.
Donkey Kong 64.
Is that on the virtual console?
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be a waste of money, though.
You're right.
I might have to do
that. You're right. Hey, let me tell you about a waste of money. You know what I'm going to do when I leave here? Go to Walmart, buy a Wii U, download Donkey Kong 64.
I'm very happy you're going to get a Wii U.
Yeah, I'm serious.
That's awesome.
I'm not actually buying it for Donkey Kong 64, but that is going to be the very first game I play on it.
Which game are you actually buying it for?
I am buying it for Mario Maker.
Yeah, that's worth it.
What was that sound?
That was me going, yeah.
Oh, okay. I couldn't tell.
Gratification.
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that, because like, if I'm not looking at the microphone and I like, because it's surrounded by foam now, it doesn't pick up everything.
If everybody, if you're a long-term listener and heard Nicole's problems with Legend of the Seven Stars, Mario RPG, that basically I feel like every problem she had with Mario RPG was fixed in Paper Mario.
That's what I was saying last week. I was really surprised that she didn't like Paper Mario.
She was just mad that it wasn't Super Paper Mario. I don't think she could get over the fact like, it's not the thing that I love, so I'm naturally, I just can't like it.
She's just too young.
I don't know. I mean, clearly she's very young. She's very, very young. But I was so surprised because I remember recording Super Mario RPG, and I agreed with her on pretty much all the points where it's like, yeah, the platforming in Super Mario RPG is kind of shitty because of the isometric view. It makes it really hard to like judge where you are and where you need to jump. And that is like completely fixed in Paper Mario because everything is by design super flat.
Yep. And the enemies are spaced out far enough that you can't avoid them if you want to.
Yeah.
And outrun them.
You're not over. You can get from one side of the room to the other because the areas are wide open, so you can avoid the enemies or fight them. And there aren't so many of them. You get frustrated with the amount of battles. Like, I feel like it's just right.
See, I feel like that was Square that did that.
Yeah,
because that's their MO. It's like battle, battle, battle. Because remember back in the day with like even Final Fantasy VI, everybody's favorite. Actually, let me restate that. Your guys' favorite Final Fantasy.
What is your favorite?
4.
Okay.
You just made Matt Barger so hard.
Yeah.
So hard.
But 6 is my second favorite. Because it's just a matter of, I won't get into semantics. Sean Miller, it is 4. Obviously, it's not 2. Because 2 and 3 wouldn't exist if 2 and 3 were the same number scheme as they were in Japan. You understand that? So
there. Not really, but I'm okay with it. Whatever the thing you said, because I agree with your opinion.
Like whatever you said, yeah. So it just makes more sense to me. But it's my favorite one because it's when they started really focusing more on the characters and less on the system.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it isn't that 6 isn't a better overall game, but 6 couldn't have happened without what the stuff that they did in 4. So it's like because 4 is sort of like the grandpappy to 6. And 5 just kind of was like, so we're going to add Gilgamesh.
5 was like, send in the B team to make 5. We'll send the good guys back in to make 6.
Yeah. So, and I love 6, and I think overall 6 is probably a better game. But for nostalgia purposes, I've played 4 way more times than I played 6. I've probably played 4 over a dozen times, and I probably played 6 maybe half as much. Well, maybe because it's also quite a bit longer. Holy shit, I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, anyway.
We were waiting for you to get there.
So he'll find it.
Okay, Tyler did this last week with Chinese food. So give me a break.
No, Ramon talking about Final Fantasy. It's like a family circus where the Billy's outlined. He'll get back to where he was eventually if you just follow the dotted line long enough.
Yeah, I could talk about Final Fantasy for forever. I think it was Square because basically, you know, they were padding games where they had like 80 plus hours of play time when really games that tried to pull that shit nowadays, it just doesn't fly. Right. So, I mean, I think a good game time is about for an RPG is maybe 30, 40 hours if it has good gameplay.
Yeah.
But like back then it was just like, it was like battle, 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 especially the first one. Oh my God. Just Final Fantasy was grueling. How many battles you go through.
Yeah. Time is a weird thing for me, man. Because like when I was in middle school and high school, give me an 80-hour RPG any fucking day of the week. Yes, bring it on. Let's do it. Now, I will tell you that I think Paper Mario is too long. And that's all one of my things to talk about is I wish this game was just a little bit shorter. Just a little bit shorter.
Like 20 minutes shorter.
I mean, more like 4 hours shorter because like I do feel like I got by the time I was in chapter 7, I was like, I am enjoying this. However, I wish that it was starting to wind down. And I know that I still have a star to get. I still have 2 stars to get. And then I know that I'm going to have to beat Bowser. So it was one of those where it was like, I was thinking, I wish it was 5 stars and not 7 stars.
Yeah. Because I think I logged 35 hours into the game by the end of it.
I've got 97 right now, but that's because I fell asleep with it on 3 times. So.
Did you hear Fallout 4 has 400 plus hours of content?
I don't know how I feel about that. I didn't hear that,
yeah,
but I don't know how I feel about that.
That makes me not want to play it now.
No, that's just all you'll play for a while.
So we're going to this Tadpog is either going to need to become a Fallout 4 podcast or Tadpog is going to end when Fallout 4 comes out.
Yeah.
We'll see everyone in 7 years. Now, one thing, like Paper Mario, it's written pretty well and it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think that's the only part that I think 7 stars has over it. Is that I think 7 stars is like brilliantly written and hilarious, but mechanics wise, like Paper Mario, all the way. And then it's just not as funny and as well written, in my opinion.
Do you think that's a nostalgia thing? The reason I ask is because I thought the writing, like I love the writing in Paper Mario, and I think it's fine in Super Mario RPG. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with it. It seems like on par for me.
And I feel like I've played 7 stars close enough where I don't feel like it's super nostalgia heavy.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. There's just something I remember just the Mario's description when he's talking to people, and Mario, I guess, is more colorful in 7 stars as opposed to what he is in Paper Mario. I guess he's more 2D in Paper Mario.
Hey, Randy, is that, do I hear Randy? A Randy joke?
My dad, because he did already call in once. We were futzing with audio. So I'll call him back and try to get some Randy stuff for the stinger.
I mean, like I said, like that's, I don't know. I feel like we should play all of them and just do another Shit Monday for each time, you know, we finish one of them. Because they get better. Like, this is a good game, and you know, you guys already said that it is better than Legend of the Seven Stars, and I'm, now that I'm playing it again, I'm actually sort of inclined to agree.
This is one of the best games on the list so far.
Yeah.
Like, I know, Tyler, you think this is the best game on the list so far. I'm not sure if I agree with that.
I love Resident Evil 2, but don't get me wrong.
It's really close for me.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed Mario Tennis.
Is Resident Evil 2 on this list?
Yeah.
It's low. It's criminally low, but yeah, Resident Evil 2 is on the list. And I mean, I love Resident Evil 2. So I guess, I mean, Mario just being like an N64 exclusive.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And games I haven't played before and are only available from this.
Yeah. I'm down. I'm down to play more of these.
Because I think Resident Evil 2 like came out on like my oven as well. So, yeah. I mean, you can play it wherever.
It came out on a potato.
Came out on dog. You can play it on dog.
Oh, man.
That's like a 2 years ago deep cut.
They're thinking about re-releasing that, too.
Really? So, an HD version?
Yeah. HD version. They're going to gut it. And do a remake. They actually, Capcom finally just went out and asked, like, what do you want? If we were going to make a Resident Evil 2 remake, what do you want? And
the same game remade. That's my answer. Don't pull this Final Fantasy VII shit where they're like, oh, we're going to change a few things. No, just fucking remake the game.
Are they changing elements
of
7?
That's the rumor now.
Well, they're changing a lot of the cinematic stuff. I mean, obviously. I don't know if the story elements are going to change or not. What they're thinking about doing for Resident Evil 2 is they're going to add stuff, which I think is like, that's a good compromise. Like they give us everything that we used to have, but also new content. And it's like,
in
okay.
A, in a separate version, right? Like, I don't, that's kind of how I feel. Like,
more
I kinda
honk
feel,
levels. No, more yeah. honk and tofu levels. Be able to play as Akuma. That's what we've always learned in Resident Evil 2.
Oh, I feel God. Like, yeah. I feel so, like, give, yeah, give you Resident Evil.
Game, in story as tofu. And just, and everyone's just super serious about it and even calls him by name. You know, it's like, tofu, there's an alligator, run! You know, and of course the alligator wouldn't eat
the alligator doesn't attack tofu in the remake.
Yeah, there'd be no way. That's not meat. He's not dumb. He's a mutant alligator. yeah, they're thinking about remaking it, which I think would be good. I think that we talked about this last week, because Capcom is hurting. Konami is hurting. You know, they really need to get back in good graces.
I don't know what Konami's done, but I know Capcom has just made bad choices. Capcom's just fucked with their fans. Like, Capcom immediately, the way they cheated Kenji Inafune, the Mega Man creator, is awful, mm-hmm. for one. But two, whenever they were like, Mega Man Legends 3, it's on the way, you know, fans vote for it, and they, like, all those people sent in support and rallied behind it, and then all of a sudden they up and canceled it and said the fans weren't devoted enough to the project.
Well, and everything with, I mean, Konami and Kojima.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just kind of like mirrors Capcom with Mega Man.
And who fucking sits there so good at it up? Sony. Sony's like, no, we'll sit here. You make your decisions and it comes back. But why is the PS4 winning? Because they just made the PS4, and then Microsoft is the one who made some less stellar choices with the Xbox One. It's not like Sony was like, hey, here's something revolutionary. No. Status quo until someone else fucks up, and then we'll just take what's left over.
Well, yeah,
we're Sony.
The kind of thing with Sony is, and being an industry that I know, is that that is the only profitable part of their portfolio. It's like, it's just PlayStation. It's the only thing Sony is making money on. And you're right. It's, they're kind of taking a step back. But what the thing that Sony does that Microsoft doesn't do, and God bless Microsoft, because, you know, I support them in many ventures. But as far as the video gaming industry is concerned, PlayStation just goes, yup, you do what you want, you know, just like they put their name on it, and they're like, this we're gonna fund your company and all this stuff, but you do what you want, you have creative control. And Microsoft is all about, no, it needs to be like this. It needs to be in this box. And that's basically what Nintendo did when we talked about it last week. It's just basically kind of putting everything in this Microsoft box. Like, it has to fit the Microsoft lifestyle, or it has to be a certain way. And now they're not nearly as bad as Nintendo is or was, but PlayStation is basically about controlling their companies, like their third party people. They have zero fucks to give. They're like, you're gonna make us money, so we don't really care.
And that's a good way to could go. I kind of worry that Marvel is going to start going down that Nintendo Microsoft path, and like just getting shill directors to process these by the numbers comic book movies, and no director can leave their own flavor or, you know, the way they interpret it on it. It's all just standard A, B, C, D, E Marvel.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm hoping that Deadpool kind of.
Deadpool's the outlier.
But Deadpool's not a Marvel Studios movie.
Oh, it's Sony.
It's a Fox movie.
Oh, Fox. Okay. Yeah. All right. Never mind. Yeah, it's not a Marvel property. Never mind.
But it does. But they have a bigger stake in it than they used to in Fox movies. And then they did buy the rights back. Well, not the rights, but they have joined rights with Sony for Spider-Man now. So they're playing a little nicer than they used to. But yeah, I think they're. Yeah, the Marvel is. They make great stuff, but they're also sort of. You know, dictatorship.
I feel bad for Andrew Garfield.
I do too. I really liked him.
I thought he was a great Peter Parker. And then it's not like, hey man, you're out of a job because Ryan Stanford. You get to fuck Emma Stone though, so that you get to keep that. You get to keep that, but we're taking everything else.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Oh man.
But Paper Mario, man, if you've got a Wii U, if you've got a Wii, you haven't played it? Man, get it. Whip it play out. It. Buy it.
It might be good on Nintendo 64. I don't know. I didn't play it on that. So it looked great on the Wii. the virtual console.
Yep.
That's what I got it on.
And it was cool playing it in bed.
Yeah.
Because I did the same thing with the classic controller hooked up into the Wiimote. So
it's got to be a thing of me having to drag out, now that I've got Thousand Year Door, I'm going to have to drag out another TV and hook it up and have the GameCube sitting over there on that TV tray. Because like I like playing in bed. I'm going to keep doing that. So
it's pretty awesome.
And the GameCube's got a handle on it. I assume they want me to carry it over to my bed to play it.
Dude, I love old games. But the thing I dread about playing old games is wired controllers. Like, having wireless controllers has fucking spoiled me. I hate feeling like I'm tethered to the goddamn television. Yeah. That is the worst feeling for me.
I have two Wavebirds.
I heard those are kind of coveted semi grails now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. Well, these are the Mad Catz ones, but they work great. We've been using them to play Smash Bros.
And, oh, so you can just plug in the adapter into the Wii U converter and it works just fine.
Uh huh. Nice. Yeah, it's just an RF signal. There aren't enough people that want to use GameCube controllers. God knows why.
Luddites. But,
yeah, I don't know. Luddites or
would you like a GameCube controller? Or I mean, I also have this shoebox with a string tied around it. You can try playing it with that if you'd like. Because it's
it's got this old Gothic crucifix.
I rigged up a 17th century harp to the to the Wii. You can try playing it with that if you want. Because it's just as easy to use as anything else other than the GameCube controller.
It gets Guitar Hero pretty well.
Harp Hero.
I play the shit out of some Harp Hero.
Harpsichord Hero.
Oh man, yep. It's like that April Fool's joke that WoW did, that you could play a bard, but you had to play with a Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
Peripheral. I was like, yeah, that sounds great. I want to do this. next time I come east there, down east, I'll bring them because we don't really use them.
Sweet. Sounds good.
Because we use the wired ones just because they feel right. They have the right weight to them.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But I can't, man. Oh, I just want to lay in bed and play the game. That's like the thing. And it's like, it's so hard to do with a wired controller unless I have like two extension cables hooked up to it.
It's better than the fucking Retron systems. Like, I swear to God, the Retron people were like, all right, like this last one, the HDMI, like everything in the system. Well, why do we need the controllers? Well, they're going to have to get on eBay, buy some stock in eBay, and they have to buy old controllers. Well, I mean, we should probably come with controllers. Okay, well, get some 80s remotes, take the stuff out of the 80s remotes, and build some controllers out of that. So they have to be... Did we lose Ramon?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Nope. Yeah, the power source came out of the laptop whenever I moved it. So we almost lost you. Dave's eagle eye spotted the 5%... icon.
I'm used to seeing it. That's the only reason. Usually we're closing an episode and it's like, all right, yeah, the battery's in the red. Let's wrap it up.
Did you guys have any achievements?
Ramon, sounds like you
No. I was thinking of them last week. I totally forgot. You guys go ahead. I mean, talk amongst yourselves.
I did not finish this game and I played it up until 20 minutes before coming over here. So I spent pretty much all my time trying to finish this game and failing miserably. But I do have at least one achievement, which I might have used for a game already. Like, as I was thinking of it, I'm pretty sure I've already used that. But I think it's going to be better in this and for this game. And this achievement is called Battletoads, or rather Battletoad. And in order to unlock Battletoad, you have to defeat the dojo master in Toad Town to earn your third degree certificate.
That was way too easy.
It was very easy.
I was expecting some Jinx level shit, and that was way too easy.
And does the certificate give you anything other than like every now and then an NPC is like, "Whoa, check you out! You got a
third
degree certificate." So you know, it was fun though.
Yeah, because I've got two. I've got Mushroom Kingdom Eagle Scout, and that is collect one of every badge.
Cool.
And the other one being, but it's my favorite. Equip three of the same badge.
I almost equipped two of the same badge, or actually might be three. The deep focus badge.
You get three of those, yeah.
That allows
three
you to...
fal- f- flower point pluses and 3 deep focuses at one point.
Yeah.
Because, like, man, I used the shit out of Starstorm. Used the shit out of Starstorm for a long time.
It's a powerful fucking ability.
Let's see. I've got one, but it only makes sense once we beat all the games. But there is a character that actually looks almost exactly like one of the villains from the later games, which actually might actually key into something. But the quiz caterpillar.
Quizmo. Yeah. Chuck Quizmo.
Chuck Quizmo, right? Looks almost exactly like Fawful, which is one of the main villains of the later games.
Fawful goes like, west.
Yeah. I would say Fawfully Suspicious, which is if you fail every single Chuck Quizmo on purpose, and then he kills you.
I think that should be Fawful Evil.
Fawful Evil, even better. He's because they share the same smile and the same glasses down to a T. It's like almost the same art direction. Even though Fawful is a Mario and Luigi character, not a Paper Mario character.
We might see some crossover there in Paper Jam.
Well, yeah, because what happened to Fawful is kind of left up in the air after one of the games. So, and he's in like three of the Mario and Luigi games.
Paper Jam, : shut up in origami. A Charles Barkley book on the ancient craft of folding paper.
I think the final boss in Paper Jam should be Parappa the Rapper.
All right.
I'm all for that.
I'm down.
Because he's also made out of paper.
I need to play. This may be, I own this game and I haven't played it yet. So I might need to sit down and play Tearaway pretty soon.
Oh, I have not played Tearaway either.
I've only heard amazing things about Tearaway.
I've heard good things.
I haven't played it either. I can't bring myself to finish Arkham Knight.
Really?
Yeah. Just can't do it. It's just like
not enough paper.
Not enough paper. I don't know. It's just like ever since I've gotten less and less time to play. Like the more old stuff I play, the less I want to play of like current games. It's just like I don't know if it's the nostalgia or just the fact that they're so much easier to pick up and play. Like Arkham Knight, I have to kind of like get in the mode to be Batman. It like takes me like a good hour to actually get back in the groove.
I've got a solution to that if you want it. If you want to hear it,
sure.
Play a shitty one every week.
Sit down and just make yourself play a really, really bad game.
You'll want to play modern games pretty bad after
play. So right before you feel like you want to go play Artie Lightfoot for the Super Nintendo for like 4 hours. You're gonna be all about some Batman.
Do I feel like I've played this enough to talk about it? Probably not. I guess I better beat it. Do I have time to do that? Most certainly not. Most certainly not.
Go play some. Yo, noise. Yeah.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun today.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of fun talking about mainly Paper Mario.
Mostly
Paper Mario. But before we close the show, there are a few questions I'd like to ask you. The first of which being, if you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, a unique rating system that you've developed where you will assign a game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would you give it?
I forget his name, but I have to give this the, it's not exactly paper, but the majestic beard of the eldest ent in Lord of the Rings. Because he's a tree, so it's paper-esque, and it's a beard. It's not, it's not a real tree beard. Son of a bitch. You got me. You fucking got me.
Tyler got the dumb.
I thought you were setting up a joke.
No, I forgot what he was called.
He's a tree. He's got a beard.
I was running through like names like Trevor. Like, what is his name?
Old paper face?
Chuck Tree Limb Man? I don't fucking know. You got me, Tolkien. You fucking got me good from the grave.
Maybe you were like, surely it's not Treebeard. I mean,
no one would know. This one of the most heralded authors of all time would not name this it Treebeard.
That's a little on the nose, don't you think?
Treebeard, his son Barkface and Rootfoot.
Do you know that Treebeard was voiced by Tony Hawk?
Nope.
That's a lie. I made it up.
Pretty good, though. I mean, hey, if Lance Bass could be Sephiroth, fucking Tony Hawk could be Treebeard.
I don't know why I thought that would be a good goof, but I did. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
That sounded like a hard edit, but it wasn't. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of glasses would you give it?
I'm going to bring it back to Naruto.
Excellent. Excellent.
There is a member of the Akatsuki in Naruto who is the only character in the series that has paper style. And she is badass and one of my favorite characters. You just don't see her enough. So at one point, she can dissolve her entire body into sheets of paper and fly around and travel like that, or grow, take shards of paper and make paper wings, etc. At one point, she's fighting and she gets the paper kind of oily. So I know you get a paper oily enough, you kind of see through it.
Yeah.
Rub crickets all over paper long enough, and it becomes translucent.
And so disgusting.
So I have to give it the oily, translucent paper of the Akatsuki ninja Konan.
The barbarian?
It's spelled the same with a K, and I haven't seen her in English, so I don't know how they say it in English.
Is her biggest weakness an oscillating fan?
Yep.
In an open window.
A struck match.
No, she's resistant to fire. I think her only weakness is oil, strangely enough, because then she can't bend the paper for her origami style if it's oily.
I'm looking at a... I almost said a photograph of her. I'm looking at art of her now. She has a lip piercing.
Mm-hmm. I forgot what that's called, like a Lapras. Lapras is a Pokemon, but like that.
She owns a Lapras.
It pierced. Forget the technical term for that lower lip piercing. But yeah, she's a cool character.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
And Ramon.
Yeah.
I've got a question for both of you guys. What I like to do is play a little game that I like to call, how much is this game on Amazon? If you were to buy this game on Amazon right now, used, how much do you think you would pay for it?
If you're looking at the screen, you would know my hands are up and not on the keyboard, so I'm not looking.
I trust you.
Used?
Used.
$38.50.
$38.50. From Ramon. Tyler, what do you think?
$23.
$23 from Tyler. Okay, guys. Actual retail value of Paper Mario for the Nintendo 64 used on Amazon at the time of this recording is $23.84. Tyler,
yeah.
Not only did you get it, you got it within the dollar. You're going to the showcase.
Yeah.
You might win a ski-doo and a trailer and a grill.
Take that shit seriously. Don't be showing off. You get one spin. Make sure it only goes around once. That's your best chance.
I think Drew Carey does a pretty good job at that show.
I haven't seen enough of him, honestly. There's no way he does as well on The Price is Right as Steve Harvey does on Family Feud.
Oh, yeah,
there's
no Steve Harvey fucking revolutionized Family Feud. I want to see the episode where Drew Carey and Craig Ferguson swapped shows. So Craig Ferguson hosted The Price is Right and Drew Carey did The Late Late Show. I know they did it, but I haven't seen the other episode.
Which are you more interested in?
Craig Ferguson.
Really?
On Price is
Right. I'm the other way around. I'm more interested in seeing Drew Carey on Craig Ferguson. I mean, literally.
See, I think that Drew Carey is, it was an, like the amazing straight man for a bunch of more funny people.
In his show, like, yeah. In Drew Carey's show, yeah.
And even on Whose Line Is It Anyway? He was very deadpan, which made him funny. But isn't The Late Late Show hosted by some other...
Yeah, Craig Ferguson retired like... almost a year ago, I bet. Yeah. I got really into the show about 2 years before he retired. So I was sad to see him go, but...
It's like James Corden now, who I like.
Yeah, it's like a British guy that I wasn't familiar with. I have not seen an episode of him hosting. So that was another thing about cord cutting that I don't really watch those shows now. I'll occasionally download an episode of Conan. That's about it.
The Paper Ninja?
The Paper Ninja, yeah. Her talk show, it's pretty good.
Talks about piercing Pokemon.
Any last minute comments about Paper Mario?
I liked I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I like Lucky Lester.
Or Spike, as he wanted to be called.
Uh-huh. I liked him because he was pretty much me in high school, so that was pretty cool.
You're floating down in a cloud in the halls.
Yeah, throwing spinies at people.
Like I said, I think we should play the rest of them.
I'm down for it. All for it. That's why, I mean, I went ahead and bought the rest of the series that is available to buy. So,
you guys both have 3DSs too?
Yep.
Yep.
Cool. I think Superstar Saga and Partners in Time is also on the Wii U Virtual Console. And then Bowser's Inside Story and Dream Team are current enough that you can find them in cartridge.
Yeah, because I think I have 3 of those actually down there. Because Meg liked them, so I had some of them down there. So I'm all prepared.
Yeah, they're good. And I would say that they we probably could do all of Paper Mario and then all of Mario and Luigi in that order, and I think it would be okay.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find that show on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. So don't miss the next episode. It'll be Other Shit Monday. So we'll be some kind of a wind down game from 2 weeks of super long RPG. Don't know what it is yet. We'll figure it out. Probably might go back to our Adver games, check some stuff out. We'll see. And as for next Original Flavor Wednesday, Donkey Kong 64, which is polarized because reading it, people either love it or it's the worst game ever. So
you have the best theme song.
I don't know. The donkey rap.
Yeah.
Again, polarized.
God, it's no, already
my only positive remark.
Never have I sat down, I'm about to sit down and play this game, and never have I been like, well, this is clearly gonna be an awful experience because this is how it starts. Mm-hmm. It is I've heard the rap. It is the worst thing pretty much ever.
Well, just go ahead and immerse yourself in the full 90s experience. Watch Clueless first. And then invite Sean Miller over, make him wear his Dr. Seuss hat and his alien head pendant.
Yeah.
And then, it'd be good.
Listen to some Jamiroquai.
Well, here's the problem is it's not that it's 90s, it's that it's just bad rap. There's great rap from the 90s.
No, it's terrible.
But
it's
this terrible. Is just really, really bad.
I like how bad it is, though, because it gets stuck in your head like the Venture River song. It's that bad.
I'm gonna link that shit in the show notes.
Hey, the Venture River theme song is much better than the Donkey Kong rap.
But it's in the same vein that it's awful enough to be like, man, I hate that song, but it's stuck in my head for 3 fucking weeks.
And what the hell am I put the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 selection screen song up in there? It takes people for a ride.
That's also a good one.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. Oh no, it's in there.
So it's still biggest marketplace. We still need those 5-star iTunes reviews. Thank you, Nate from Utah, for finding a random cell phone at a party and giving us a 5-star review on that person's cell phone. I appreciate that. More people do that. More people go to parties and just start grabbing phones and giving us 5-star iTunes reviews. Even if your only commentary is, hey, stole a phone at a party for this. 5 stars.
I think if you do that, you should make a request. I think that's request worthy.
That's the thing. We try to further incentivize you to give us 5-star reviews. If there's a game you want us to play or a host you want for an episode, include it on there and we'll... something with it, but I'm not done saying what I want to say yet before I say that. So, but we get more reviews of people just saying they like the show as opposed to people wanting us to play a game, which that touches me because they're not just giving us a 5-star review to get us to play something. For the most part, people just want to leave us a 5-star review, and that's awesome.
That is really cool.
But whatever you put in that 5-star review, because either way, we appreciate it. Either way, it keeps the gun out of Dave's mouth. It keeps the B gun in the corner where it should be. Whatever you put in that, we promise we will get to that eventually.
Eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about something. We'll figure it out. We always do, right? One time, clearly, we're going to fuck up. At some point, we are going to fuck up.
If we did, it's called Leather Goddesses of Phobos.
That still came out.
That's true. That still came out.
We're like the kid who's not like really good in school, but he does show up every day. Like his attendance is like gold star.
Like we were like the best stepdads ever.
World's okayest dad.
So we'll be talking about something. I don't know. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. Or you can find us on Facebook. We're there. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. That is the best place to let us know how you feel about this particular episode. We're on Twitter. You can find us at tadpog_podcast. It's cucumbersome, I realize. We've been getting a lot more followers on Twitter, and that's awesome. So that's great. Keep doing that, please, because it's nice to like log into Twitter and be like, I don't do anything on here, but people are following us, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And especially thank you for everybody who retweets our episode post, because that, of course, helps spread the word. You can call us if you want. You can call us at 270-883-2555. We have a nice backlog of calls and texts that we're saving to use on future episodes. So if you want to hear yourself on the show in like the year 2023, and go ahead and call us, leave us a voicemail. Try to keep it under 3 minutes. And if you do send in a text, I promise I will fuck it up. That's my promise to you. If you want to, you can give us some money. Some very nice people are doing that currently on Patreon. Mm-hmm. You can find us at patreon.com/tadpog. Thank you very much for everybody who has donated so far. We are totally listener supported, and that's a pretty cool feeling.
Absolutely. Ramon.
Yes, Tyler.
Our theme song.
It is Moves by Sycamore Drive. A link to that track can be found on the show notes at tadpog.com.
Excellent. Thank you. How do you think we should close this out?
In the worst fake Italian accent that we have.
Ah, the best then, you mean?
Yes. Ah, racist. We haven't had a good opportunity to be racist enough on this show.
Not this episode.
Just the carabiner comment. That was about it.
Yeah, this isn't nearly racist enough for a Ramon episode. We need to up the ante right now.
No, we'll get you and Jorge on an episode together, and we'll just watch it fly. It'll be fine.
Jorge. Or something.
So until next time, a tropical Capricorn. It's a mozzarella. A little, yeah.
Bibbidi bobbidi.
You talk like you're talking to a little mouse in your hands.
Hey, can you guys hear me all right?
I can hear you now.
Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Old Miller on the soundboard.